The following podcast is a B&E Network exclusive.
Any questions?
Nope.
Are you sure?
No.
Oh, you're not sure.
I'm not sure, but you know what? Here we are.
Okay, here we are. Let's do this.
Warning. This podcast contains strong language, which may be unsuitable for children, and stupid humor, which may be unsuitable for adults. Listener discretion is strongly advised. Welcome to the Shit Show.
Coming to you from the basement on a hill where the beer flows like wine and the cats instinctively flock like the salmon of Capistrano, this is Scary as Shit, horror talk for the soul. My name is Anthony, that's Kevin there on the couch. Say hello, Kevin.
Hello.
Hello. Tonight we have music from Radkey, we have News of the Dead, we'll play the Seven Deadly Questions, and we will review We Are What We Are with none other than Noah Diaz. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming over. You're a super busy gentleman. I appreciate taking some time here.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure. So let's get started with some nonsense.
This place is hilarious. It's so funny what people who have never been kidnapped think is scary. Talking crows? I would have loved to meet a talking crow.
Death looms over us all!
Here is your nonsense headline. Family dispute turns messy. In Stockton, California, Lanelle Shaw was arrested for assault with a deadly weapon after stabbing a family member several times in the head with a large kitchen knife. The reason? Said family member defecated on Shaw's lawn. So here's a series of events. The family member shits in Shaw's yard. He's chased. He's pinned down. He's stabbed multiple times in the head. Then he grabs the knife after Shaw drops it, and he gets a couple stabs in himself. Then the police show up and determine that Shaw is the aggressor, and they charge him with assault and hold him on $250,000 bail. Is shit in your yard worth stabbing for?
Truly, the nonsense to me is that you said it happened in California as opposed to like Florida. Because I was waiting, I was having a conversation with a friend. I came to the realization that like anything batshit crazy like that happens in Florida.
That's true.
I was waiting for it. I was. So thank you, Anthony. The nonsense tonight is that nonsense can happen outside of Florida.
You're great. Damn right. You know, on was it our first show? We had our nonsense story was this guy from Florida.
In Florida.
Who chewed off his fingertips to try to elude the police.
There are so many ways you can cut off your fingertips. You don't have to eat it.
Well, he's sitting in the back of the cop car chewing his fingertips
off. Sand them, cut them. There's options. Options other than chewing.
You guys ever shit in someone's yard before?
Not yet.
I mean, I'm open to the possibility.
Not against it.
But I feel like I'm going to keep that in reserve, like just in case. Like that's like worst case scenario. Like if I'm really pushed to that level, I might. I can't say that I wouldn't.
I don't think I've ever taken a shit outside. Like
bullshit.
Anywhere. Like no, not like bullshit in the woods or in a bush. I swear I have.
How
not.
Old are you? How old are you?
I'm 34. But
you have.
I swear.
34 years of your
I've
life
taken
you have. Don't.
Plenty of leaks outside. No. But I've never taken a crap outside.
I can say I never have. I truly can't. But looking at you over there on that couch, I don't believe that for a minute from the looks of you. I don't believe it.
Well,
met you, but I'm telling you right now, I don't believe it.
With you, I mean, I'm not against it or anything.
Sure.
I just haven't really had an opportunity.
You guys are weirdos.
So does it say what prompted the whole him taking a shit?
No.
Like, was it like there was a dispute before that?
I agree.
Thing?
Yeah, it's not like that's important.
He just
to know.
Had to go and he couldn't get inside of his own house.
In which case, you know, stabbing seems like a really aggressive way to handle that, other right. than just like a mild disappointment. Like, just, I mean, we could have tried harder to get inside, but like, I agree. I feel like they really buried that lead. I kind of need to know what happened there.
All right, I'll do more research and report back next week.
Great. I'll follow up for next week.
Great.
Radkey, dark black makeup. We'll be right back.
Radkey. We love these guys. Check them out at radkey.net. Buy their shit up. Hey, do you guys like the music you hear on the show? Make sure to check out our all-new Spotify playlist. Each month, we'll update it with music from the bands we're playing on the show, as well as music from other bands we love. So just go to Spotify and search Scary As Shit. Now, let's get to some news.
Ninepence.
I'm not dead.
What? Nothing. Here's your ninepence.
I'm not dead.
Here. He says he's not dead.
Yes, he is.
I'm not.
He isn't?
Well, he will be soon. He's very ill.
I'm getting better.
No, you're not. You'll be stone dead in a moment.
Yes, I'm dead.
Who are you going to call? Let your inner child rejoice. Sony Pictures Home Entertainment will release my favorite 80s animated series. If you're a listener of the show, you know that it is The Real Ghostbusters, coming on July 7th on DVD and digital. Did anyone watch this?
Absolutely.
Kevin did. Have you ever seen the Real Ghostbusters cartoon?
I have never even heard of it.
Never. You're a little younger than us.
I only saw the first Ghostbusters last summer.
Oh my!
How's that feel?
Stings a little.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm a little disappointed it's not coming out on like a Blu-ray or an HD.
Wait. So they're recreating it, or they're just re-releasing it?
They're re-releasing it. So it was a TV show.
I mean, I think I know what you're talking. I mean, I have memories. I think I've seen like images of the cartoon.
I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
Yeah, but on DVD and digital, I'm definitely. Well, I guess it depends on how much it's going to cost, but I'm definitely going to buy that.
It's like the whole series.
Yeah. Well, it says 50 plus episodes. So however many. You know, are you looking it up right now?
Yeah, it says there's 140 episodes.
Okay. Well, that's a bummer.
Lasted for about 5 years between 86 and 91. So yeah, I mean, 50 plus episodes, that would be probably almost half. So
yeah.
Are they releasing like...
I love that silence for math happening in our mind. Like, didn't even try. I'll just let you handle that one.
It's a good show, though.
It is. I love it.
Watching that when I was
loved it. Loved it. All right. The apocalypse is nigh, you guys. Wesley Snipes, Gene Simmons, and the WWE are teaming up. Erebus Pictures, formed by KISS co-founder Gene Simmons and WWE Studios, has signed Wesley Snipes, Anne Heche, Dave Annable, and Seth Rollins in its latest thriller. Temple, a movie that follows trained operatives who find themselves trapped inside an isolated military compound where they begin to experience strange and horrific phenomena, will be directed by John Stockwell, who did the greatest movie in the world, Blue Crush. Never saw it because it looked like shit. So I can't believe this isn't like a straight to Sci-Fi Network TV show or movie.
I'm gonna be honest, nothing you just said interested me. Yeah. Like literally none of it. None of that. Except Anne Heche, she's pretty good.
Which was surprising. Like, she signed on to do this piece of shit. Personally, I didn't even know WWE had a movie studio.
I mean, I don't think that's surprising that you didn't know that. I mean, okay. Why would you?
I appreciate that you think that's surprising.
They came out with some good movies.
You lie. Name one. No, you can't even cheat and look it up.
No, I can't. I can't really. Well, no.
Don't let your Google know that you search for that. Imagine the ads that'll start popping up. Don't even do it to yourself.
I think the type of movies they come out with are exactly like that boy band one.
Oh, that's my coming God. Out yeah, it's seven or... It's,
whatever it yeah. is. The boy band western zombie.
You know what, though? That hits me right in my sweet spot, though. Really? Like that, I mean,
are you aware of that film?
I am, only because, I mean, it hits like the triptych. Like, I mean, you got boy bands, and then you got zombies, and it's western? I mean, if you would have just tossed it on Mars and called it like a sci-fi, like space western, even better.
It's covering so many bases, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. You know, honestly, that wouldn't surprise me if that was like a Gene Simmons or WWE production.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. All right. And lastly, you've probably heard this, Noah, being a theater guy, Kevin. Maybe you did too. It's great. New Zealand high school drama department puts on the most realistic Sweeney Todd you've ever seen. Two 16-year-old boys were hospitalized after having their necks cut by a prop razor during a production of the classic Sondheim musical. Speaking of the prop, an actual razor that was filed down and covered in duct tape, headmaster Stephen Cole said, quote, "The importance of making the show authentic, making these boys and girls, some of whom wish to pursue acting as a career, it was deemed important to make it as realistic as possible. While some of the more disturbing scenes and text in the original version have been removed, the premise remains a central part of the storyline. Maybe next time we'll do something that's more general." End quote.
Wait, so they didn't even attempt to wrap up the knife or anything like that?
No, it was filed down and then wrapped in duct tape.
Okay, you know, no. That feels like some Black Swan shit then. You know, that one of those other students unwrapped it then.
Right.
No, I'm not. Yeah, that's not just oh boy, the duct tape fell off. Oops.
Yeah.
Something happened.
What I couldn't figure out, two times. How did this happen?
No, that's like Toby in third hours, like, I'm Sweeney Todd now. I need him out of here.
So it was like two separate nights that they did the show.
Well,
or
no,
it was one night.
I think
two boys got
opening night. Two boys.
I think I read somewhere that it was like the one scene. If you're familiar with the show, he's in the song. Sweeney's like slicing and slicing and slicing, and they just keep falling through this trap door.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was that scene,
okay.
But two boys, like in succession, you know?
Okay.
Slice, go through the trap door, slice through the trap door. Which,
oh my God.
Could you imagine? Like, could you imagine your mom out in the audience? Like, what the fuck?
Oh, I mean, oh boy, I bet this school is under. Because the parents put up protests knowing that this was an actual razor that they're using for the prop.
Well, sure.
And, I mean, yeah, you need to be as realistic as possible, but this is also a high school, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
I mean, even in like professional productions, like when someone cracks out a knife, I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
Let's cool it. Let's cool it over there with that razor blade, you maniacs.
After the Brandon Lee was, you know, killed on the set of The Crow, that's always been something in the back of my mind, like when people bring out, and especially in live theater, people bring out props. It's like 2 months ago or something. Was it in Australia again?
The guy is the new Florida.
The guy hung himself. No, it was in Italy.
Oh, Jesus Christ Superstar.
Was it Jesus Christ Superstar?
Well, I don't know, but I know Jesus Christ Superstar, someone, one of the guys accidentally hanged himself.
He would have played Judas. Yeah, it was in Italy like 2 months ago. Something happened during the show and like he actually hung himself and died.
Mm-hmm. Oh, died.
Yeah, he died.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Gotta love theater, man.
Yeah. Warning, don't do theater then. That's my takeaway here. It's like quit. Quit while I'm ahead.
That's dedication to the scene. Hey, stay up to date with any breaking story by checking out our social media pages. We're on Twitter at Scary Shit Radio, on Facebook at facebook.com/scaryasshit, and Tumblr at scaryasshit.tumblr.com. And as always, you can send in your comments and questions to scaryasshit666@gmail.com.
Wait a minute. I know who you are. Yeah, but I heard you were dead.
So last week, I texted Noah. I was like, okay, is it Diaz or Diaz? And then he texts back, it's actually Diaz. And I didn't know if you were joking or not, but I just went with it.
No, you got to keep you on your toes.
Okay.
Totally serious, though.
Okay,
totally
good.
Serious, yeah.
Noah came over to my house like, it was probably 2 years ago now, and did the very first reading of the musical. At the time, it was called In Love. It's now Of Love and Death in Jackson Park.
That's a good title.
You like that one?
Yeah, I like that
Okay.
one. You can keep it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But you gave some of the greatest notes, like out of all the readings and, you know, people I've given it to. Your notes, it was you and Jeremy Johnson that gave greatest notes.
That's good to hear. Thank you.
Well, I really appreciate it. So you're tired.
I'm tired.
You're tired. You're a full-time student.
I am.
You are directing and acting in a play.
I am.
You just did, what was the reading you just did this weekend?
I did The Kinsman.
Right.
The Two Noble Kinsmen.
Okay.
Shakespeare, yep.
And do you work? You don't have a job. I mean.
Hell no. Hell no.
You don't have time. Yeah, there's no time.
I like felt that coming out of your mouth. I wanted to hit you. I was like, fuck you, Anthony. What more do you want?
Yeah. I mean, seriously. Income. Yeah, right. Well, let's talk about The Feast.
Yeah.
Being a horror podcast, horror fans ourselves.
Sure.
When I heard that The Boat was going to be doing The Feast, I was super, I mean, I'd never heard of it, but looked it up, mm-hmm. you know, and super pumped. And then you guys just released the art a few weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. That's who did that?
That is a woman on the Shelter Belts board named Christina Byrne. Check out her Instagram. I can get that for Anthony and we can
Help him share it.
She's a phenomenal artist. We were working on a show together this past winter and we were just chatting about it or whatever. And just, you know, very organically, we just kind of started talking about upcoming. She wasn't signed on to work for the production and she just kind of like had some ideas or whatever. And immediately, I knew immediately, actually, I will email you all of the test posters too.
Okay.
Yeah, there's one in particular. It's like a hand that's like severed in pieces.
Sweet.
To look like, you know, like the cuts of meat. It's great. So I'll email that, and if you're interested, I will share that with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah. So that's a nice little setup. Tell us about The Feast. What's the premise?
As I cough. I sound like a frog. The Feast, it is in our world, I'm not going to say the future because it really isn't. All the meat in the world has mysteriously gone to rot. All the animals have died and or been killed. And so there is no meat left. And so the show kind of begins with the four characters at a dinner party. And this production in particular is pretty interesting because if you're familiar with theater, there's a thing called house open, which is when the doors of the theater open and right. all of us are on stage from the get-go. We are on stage.
Really?
Yep, we are on stage for the full half an hour at pre-show. Okay. And really, it is about all of us waiting around for the host. The character's name is Wendy, for the host's husband to come home.
Okay.
And this is no, I mean, if you see the artwork, this is no spoiler alert or anything.
Right.
Over the course of the play, you learn and you realize and you come to understand that what they are waiting for is for the husband to come home, not so they can have him join the table to eat, but so that they can eat him.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Love it. I mean, that's so, God. I wish... I mean, there's a lot. I mean, we just talked about Sweeney Todd.
Mm-hmm.
I'd consider that horror.
Sure.
But I wish there was just so much more horror in live theater.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I, you know, I'm working on some stuff too, but, this is now, who wrote The Feast?
Her name is Celine Song. She's a phenomenal playwright. Actually, she just got, she's got picked up by the Public Theater in New York. So
yeah.
if you're any theater, big theater people out there, it's a very big deal. So she's one of their artists in residence there.
Wow.
Yeah. She's working or writing for them. She will actually be back in this summer for the Great Plains Theater Conference.
Oh, really?
Her play, Tom and Eliza, which is a two-person play about falling in love over book burning.
Okay. Wow.
She is a fascinating, strange playwright. Right now I'm pushing for the Shelter Belt to pick up her other play called Family, which is three grown adults who hard to explain still act like children.
Right.
And so basically the entire play is just set. It's three ginormous, like huge chairs.
Okay.
Like completely oversized, and they're all just sitting on it. And over the course of the play, and it's a ghost story. They're like in their house and it's haunted, and I mean, this can sound boring. Anyway, you come to realize that that they're victims of sexual abuse. Mm. It's strange. Wow. And scary and powerful. And what I love that you bring up that, you know, The Feast sounds like a horror play, because it is. It very much is, and it really, really isn't.
Right.
You know, it's so often in theater, there are tropes and there are types of plays, and in many ways they become kitsch.
Right.
So they know, like, a classic Halloween play,
yeah,
will often just be, you know, not to slight them, can often be utter shit.
Right.
And it's the types of plays like this that transcend genre,
for sure,
that are I find the most powerful and the most interesting. So it's great. It's fantastic. She's a phenomenal playwright.
That's very cool. And so for anyone that doesn't know, the Shelter Belt only produces locally written stuff, or produces things from people who have been at Great Plains, right?
Yeah, it's basically, you know, the caveat is just new original work.
Okay.
Yep.
Very cool. Now talk to me about the cast. Who's in the feast?
I lucked out. I assembled some very phenomenal performers. Mary Kelly,
okay,
who, if you're familiar with Omaha Theater, is a staple. She handles absurd and surreal truly like no other
cool
performer in town, I think. I also have Leanne Carlson,
yeah,
who was Mary Poppins this past summer.
I know Leanne.
Do you?
I do.
Kevin was in.
I've worked with her before.
No, I'm gonna text her right this second.
Yeah.
Oh, she'll totally.
What's your last name?
Buswell.
They did a couple Rocky Horrors together, right?
No. Yeah. How funny is that? You can see us on Periscope. Can you see me? I'm texting her right now.
That's Leanne. I mean, when Andy was back, my brother, when he was back in town, I guess it was quite a while ago, but we went and saw Little Women at OCP, and she was in that cast. She's a man. I love Leanne.
She is a remarkably versatile performer.
Mm-hmm.
She can really, I think, really do it all. She is, you know, beyond words.
Yeah.
I also have a gentleman named Bo Fisher.
Okay.
Who just moved to town from Chicago. This is the first thing he auditioned for.
Nice.
While in town. I don't think he probably knows many people, or many people know him, but I think they certainly will.
Yeah. Very cool.
He's exceptional. Exceptional.
Awesome.
Yep. And then me.
And then, you know, actor, director. That's good for you, man.
Good for me, or dumb of me.
Well, yeah. You know, either way, whatever. So did Ronnie do sets for you guys?
Nope. We had this is so cute. My mom did the set.
Really?
Yeah, and mainly because there is really no set construction.
Okay.
It is set assembly, and I'll explain that. But basically, my mom is an artist.
Okay.
And really, so the entire set is made out of cardboard. So the floor, the walls, a window unit, a fireplace, artwork, mirror, everything is made out of cardboard.
Oh, that was the call for all the cardboard you were...
Yeah, okay. If you're friends with me on Facebook, I needed your damn cardboard. So if you provided me some, thank you. The set looks gorgeous. Yeah, and so really there was nothing like... No drills or anything, just a lot of tape or a lot of glue. and it looks great. It looks exactly awesome. what I was looking for. So
very cool. And who else is involved in this production?
Sound is by Shannon Smay.
Okay.
Phenomenal sound designer. Costumes are by Zachary Kloppenborg, who is the artistic director of the Colonel Mustard. I think it's Colonel Mustard Attic Theater Company, something down in Lincoln.
Okay.
Which, if you don't know, they every summer they do a show. They do big like show or musical or whatever, which have included Jurassic Park the musical. Spider-Man, okay. Musical. Yeah. Crazy stuff.
Okay, I know who you're talking about.
Lighting designed by Joshua Malady.
Okay.
And I think those are the four.
Yeah, very cool. Now, you can head over to shelterbelt.org
yep.
to get your tickets on what is it? E-tix? I don't know. Whatever.
No, I think they do Eventbrite.
Eventbrite, that's right, yeah. I have the app because I've seen so many freaking shows.
Don't mess up these tickets for me, Anthony.
I'm sorry, my bad.
Don't do it.
Shelterbelt.org. And you can find them on Twitter and on Facebook and on Instagram now.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can follow Noah on Instagram. Where?
Oh my god! I have to pull.
I got it right here.
Do you?
I do. I know.
I'm glad. Okay, did you ask me for it? Because I don't remember. Good. Someone
on Instagram at Noah_Diaz the number 3.
Why 3? I wonder why I did that.
Maybe there's a lot of Noah Diaz's.
There shouldn't be.
And you can friend him on Facebook. You know, I don't know how often people that come on the show get friended by a bunch of strangers, but we'll see.
Let's find out.
Facebook.com/Noah Diaz. But hit it up. Check out the feast. If you're in town, this is going to be super cool. If you've been following along with the belt on social media or with Noah, like the pictures, I love it. My favorite so far, like the, was it blood smear or something all over Leanne's?
That's the lipstick scene. The lipstick scene. Yeah, you have to wait to see that.
Exciting.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. So, well, the real reason that we ask people over to the basement is to play our fun little game that we call
the 7 Deadly Questions.
So, Noah, you haven't listened to an episode yet, correct?
No.
Okay.
Scared.
So you're a virgin. You don't know what's coming. So every week we ask our guest 7 questions, and it's the same 7 questions every single show. So are you ready to play this little game?
Yes.
Okay, good. First, I should preface this. We've had a lot of non-horror fans on the show. Do you like horror movies?
Of course I do.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right, good. When people say like, thanks for having me over, I just want to let you know I don't like horror movies. I'm like, what
then
the
get
hell?
Off.
I'm like, well, this is going to be even more fun, I guess.
We just start making those people watch the scariest movies we can find.
That's a great idea. All right, Noah, question number 1.
Lay it on me.
What's your favorite horror movie?
Ooh, okay. 2 answers.
Okay.
One that truly scared me, or one that I've always enjoyed watching.
Okay.
Okay, I have to ask that. Are you going to ask what was like the first horror movie I remember?
No.
Okay, then I'm gonna have 3. Okay. The one I first gotta take up my time, right? The one I remember earliest was Chucky.
Okay.
I remember there's a scene where he was like running underneath some sheets or whatever.
Right.
Fucked me up for weeks.
Yeah.
The movie I just always enjoy watching. I think just in its quality is Poltergeist.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay. Good. That's our second Poltergeist.
And the movie that truly. Because I mean this, I don't get scared by horror movies.
Right.
Like, if you want to talk about like medical stuff, like cancer, God, that screws
real life
me.
Horror.
But like horror movies, but Insidious.
Oh, that's good.
Insidious, and I think they just were so, their jump scares were just expert.
So
like that
good.
One, you've seen it,
right? Yeah.
Like the one where like Patrick Wilson.
Yeah, Patrick Wilson.
Yeah, Patrick Wilson. Like the demon figure is just like right behind him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it still gives me nightmares.
Well, and with that, I thought it was so good because it wasn't like a in your face. It was, you know, I mean, it probably lasted a second, but it wasn't a split second. It happened almost slowly, which to me. It's kind of like on the Blair Witch Project. Have you seen Blair Witch?
Yeah, it just gave me like vertigo.
Okay. But at the end, when she goes down
yes,
to the basement.
Yes, I know what you're saying.
And like slowly the camera shakes and pans up to the guy standing in the corner and you're like, it's still a jump scare.
Sure.
I kind of felt that way with Insidious. And that movie still scares the shit out of me.
Well, and also because I remember thinking when I first saw it, because it came out when I was in high school.
Okay.
I remember thinking like, this is the first horror movie that I can like consciously remember that has played... That has really tripped me up in terms of expectations.
Oh,
like
yeah.
the scene with like the little ghost kid was like playing out in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, no, fuck that. No, yeah. Fuck that little ghost kid. Cause that's not how this is supposed to work. Or when like, you know, like the expectations, like that, like she opened Rose Byrne, who's incredible in that movie.
Right.
Like opens the closet where the little kid is hiding and you're like, oh, he's going to be gone. And motherfucker's still there. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like it toyed with my expectations in a way that I could not keep ahead of it. Cause that's the problem with myself in horror movies is I'm always 2 steps ahead.
Yeah.
And with them, I had no idea what the fuck was happening.
Yeah.
No idea.
That's, I mean, Jason Blumhouse Productions. They put out some pretty
great.
Pretty great shit. Okay, question number 2. Mm-hmm. How would you want to die in a horror movie?
Oh. Well, truthfully, I know I wouldn't last long. I'd be the first to go. I have no couth. I'm just, I'd go. I would love probably. You know, keeping a theme, I'd love to be eaten.
Oh, there you go.
I'd love to be eaten.
Eaten alive?
Alive or?
Oh, I mean, for fun, I guess. I mean, just, I mean, like for fun of answer, I guess. But I mean, truthfully, no. Of course, right. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Kevin, shut up over there. Of course,
to
I'm
enjoy
not.
It. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, to make the answer better. But like, there's I think it's the movie You're Next. That's the one with the masks. Right. The one with Brittany Snow, and she like it's like
Oh, Would You Rather?
Would You Rather?
Yeah.
I can tell you, I would not want to go by drowning.
No,
the one where like they drowned,
they held you underneath. Ooh, yeah.
I could do that.
Yeah.
Speaking of drowning, real fast, have you ever seen White Squall?
Mm-mm.
Okay, Dennis Quaid. You know what I'm talking about, Kevin. Okay, yeah. Dennis Quaid, and like he takes these high school boys out on the sea on this big
yes.
clipper ship,
okay,
and then it,
I do.
You know, it goes under, and some of the people die. And I saw it when it came out. I was much younger. But the nerdy kid who was stuck below as the ship was going down and the cabin's filling with water, and he's sitting there and he's trying to like wake himself up from some dream, that stuck with like drowning just seems so fucking scary.
Mm-mm, no fun.
Oh my gosh.
Though I think that someone said it's just like you just like kind of go to sleep. Kinda
yeah.
Kind of like freezing. Or something like your mind just like slowly just slips away or something.
Yeah, but slowly. I just shoot me in the head. I just want to go, man.
Sure.
God, or a fucking heart attack. I don't care. Just.
Yeah.
Whew. Okay, question number three. What's your favorite scary book? You're a huge reader. I know you're a big reader.
I am.
Scary book. Do you like horror books?
I do. I guess I don't often work them in a rotation. I forget the title, but one of Ray Bradbury's books fucked me up. Which one was it? The other problem is too, like, aliens scare me.
Yeah.
I get freaked out. But is it the Martian Chronicles? I know he wrote that, but that scared me. Anyway, a Ray Bradbury book.
Okay.
Was scary.
He writes
a terrible
really
answer.
Trippy shit. No, it's, I mean.
Speaking of which, I just reread There Will Come Soft Rains today.
How's.
Do you know that short story?
I don't even know that short.
Yeah, it's a short, it's like 2 or 3 pages. Basically, it's in the future, and I think it's 2026, and a smart house is like going about the day, like cleaning, doing all this stuff, and
right.
No one's home. And you slowly realize that it's because there was a nuclear war, and everyone had been blasted away. And this house
just keeps going.
Obviously, didn't know it. There Will Come Soft Rains.
Who is that by Ray Bradbury?
Yeah.
Man, this guy.
I just got bored in class today and reread it.
Okay, one more time. Tell me the title.
There Will Come Soft Rains.
Okay. Oh, I love it. Okay. I remember, I was a huge, I mean, I still am, but, you know, I read so much in middle school and high school, and I read, I mean, just even Fahrenheit in middle school. And I was like, oh, this guy, he writes some pretty fucked up shit. Yeah.
I'm currently getting through American Gods again by Neil Gaiman.
I never heard of it. American Gods?
Come on, Anthony, you illiterate buffoon.
Sorry.
It's great. You'd love it. You'd love it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not going to write that one down, though. flipping me off. Okay. Question number four. What has been your favorite Halloween costume you've worn in your life?
I am always a cat.
Really?
That's not a great answer, but it's true. I'm literally just always a cat.
Like the same cat or
usually. My friend Caitlin often gets angry about it. Like every year, just angry because she'll always say, she was like, you're not being a fucking cat again. And I'm like, I got the ears. It's been the same exact ears for like the last like 4 or 5 years.
Like, do you paint your nose black and everything?
Like it's the same. It's my black and stripe, my black and white stripe sweater.
Okay.
My black cat ears, a little on the nose, and whiskers. That's it.
One of these...
There are pictures. You can find it. It's the same exact costume.
You're going to have to start stripping like things away, like a piece of that costume year by year. So like maybe this year, just wipe away half the whiskers. Like just have half whiskers.
I'll just
on
have three on one side and one on the other.
And then, I mean, people are going to come up to you and be like, what's that about? And you're going to...
I'm a cat with alopecia.
Ew. Okay, a cat. Number five, what has been your most terrifying nightmare?
Oh, I can tell you it exactly. I remember it because I had it when I was 7 or 8 years old.
Okay.
It was in my house. I'm coughing.
You're fine.
In my house.
Well, hold on. You grew, like your real house? Or just...
Yes, okay. Yes. The dream, it was set in my
okay,
actual
and
house.
You grew up in Council Bluffs, right?
Yep, still do.
Where you still live in Council Bluffs? So where at?
Right by the Black Angel.
Of course, dude. Those are fucking creepy neighborhoods.
Yeah, my house is like 100, like over 100, 150
yeah,
years old.
Yeah, dude. My parents, like my mom
yeah,
was
I
pregnant.
Live right, I live right off Oakland Avenue.
Oh, yeah. Dude, yeah. You're going to have scary dreams for live just because you lived up there.
Well, yeah, well, and also, I've always been prone to the macabre and scary because my parents are obsessed with Halloween.
Nice.
So like my mom decorates for Halloween every year.
Okay.
And when I mean decorate, I mean, to understand, you know, severity, there's one big project that happens every year. And so we will redo the entire flooring, all the floors for this year's Halloween, or we will buy new furniture for this year's Halloween.
Wow.
We have two rooms in the house dedicated simply just to keeping all of the stuff.
Yep.
And it's not like, you know, like, you know, like Nobby's or like
right.
Hobby Lobby. I mean, it's genuine like antiques and genuine like she goes like across the country to get like go to like fairs and stuff. It is a thing.
Yeah.
So I am used to strange, but there's this one witch doll that has fucked me up since I was a kid and I hate it every year. I'm like, get that fucking thing. I don't trust it. Anyway, my dream. What a tangent. My dream.
Wait, hold on.
Lay it on me.
So I was friends with a girl, I can't remember her name, back in high school. She lived up on the opposite side of the neighborhood. So you know,
sure. You, across from the cemetery?
Right. Two houses down from the corner from the monument there. Lincoln, right. Two houses down. And she had the scariest fucking ghost stories, like of shit that she saw.
My house is unfortunately not haunted. It's not.
Oh, bummer.
It's the only one on the block. That's
I bet you it is.
All the other ones are fucked up beyond repair.
Are you familiar with Oakland Avenue?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you know that big brick one?
Yeah.
My parents put like an offer in on it. They were going to buy it. Like it was going to be the house way back when, like 20, 24 or 25 years ago.
Yeah.
It was going to be the house. And apparently, I never quite got the story, but they were just like, there was something. It just wasn't right for us. And then I was like, oh, okay.
Maybe it was right for them if they're
loving
the Halloween
So they just like moved
stuff.
Up the street to this other one. And they were like, the cop had answers. I was like, it was just too big for us. And I'm like, bullshit. You saw something. Parents, I don't buy it.
Nice. Okay, back to your dream. Sorry. I love that neighborhood, by the way, just because it's so fucking creepy.
Yeah, that's a cool neighborhood. Like on one of the last brick roads in Council Bluffs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So my dream, it's in the house. And I am sitting on the couch. And the couch is way too big for me. And I have two older brothers. And I remember my brother Joey was... I need to set it up in space a little bit. So our living room... Like, so the couch is against the wall. And like the wall is also kind of... It shares the same wall as a hallway that goes down the hallway and then up the stairs at the end of the hallway. So I'm sitting on the couch and it's way too big for me and it's just really, really hot. I'm like, I remember just like in the dream, I was just like sweating and I woke up sweating too. And I just hear my brother coming down the stairs and I look and he's... I will never explain it well, because when I explain it, it doesn't sound scary, but he was just white.
Okay.
He was just, and I don't mean pale, but there was just something, he was bright.
Yeah.
And so he comes down the stairs, ooh, look at that. Whoa.
Freudian.
comes down the stairs, and he comes to the side of the couch, and he just like leans across it and says, it's time for you to go downstairs.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah, and he's like, it's just time. And he's just like, it's time for you to go downstairs. And I remember, and I just looked at him, and then like, he just like walks away, and he walks, and in my dream, the stairs to the basement are like ahead of me, you know, which in the house they're not, but right. they were. And he just went, and I could just see him like going down the stairs. And then at the bottom of the stairs, I could hear my other brother, Julio. I could hear him and like other people just like in this bizarre unison say, it's time.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
And then I got up off the couch and I walked toward the stairs and I walked down the stairs. And this is the part that's so annoying. I saw something down at the bottom of the stairs and I do not remember what it is. I guarantee you I blocked it out over time, you know.
Yeah,
over
oh, yeah, years, whatever. I'm sure.
But I just don't, I don't remember. I have no idea. Something. I saw something. And it also in the dream, like, you know, like the room was way too big and the couch was way too big. And it was bizarre.
Yeah.
So like in describing it, it doesn't sound super scary, but I remember in detail to this day, how many 15 odd years later.
That's it not. Sounds pretty fucking scary still.
Yeah, it's not. It wasn't fun.
Yeah. My God. Did you just have it the one time?
Just the one time. And the only other thing that ever kind of came close was I had one time, like last year, I had sleep paralysis.
Okay.
Which if you're familiar with, sure. Yep. Like they say like you sense things in the room with you.
Yeah.
Which I did. And oh my God, I truly, truly, not even on my worst enemies, wish sleep paralysis on anyone, because mm-hmm. your paranoia and it is truly bizarre. It is truly bizarre.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's that.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. I can't wait till, like, my wife and I, when we were both kids, like, each of us had horrible, horrible nightmares. And so I just expect that for our son, and I can't wait for those
how
days.
Sweet of you.
And I'm going to have him explain them to me in detail so I can write them down. Anyways. Okay. Where are we at? Question 6. You're in a zombie apocalypse. You have one weapon and it's not a gun. What is it?
One weapon. A car.
Okay. That's good.
It's dual. I mean, I can go places, and I can also mow them over.
That's really smart.
Like a big, huge, like, tank-type vehicle that you've, like, souped up to put, like, barbed wire on the sides of it and all that shit, so you can,
I mean,
like,
that'd be great. If I could stumble across that, that'd be great. I can tell you, I do not have the wherewithal to barely operate my own car today, so let alone trying to soup one up like that would just probably not happen.
Like on Wormwood. Have you seen that? Have you guys seen Wormwood?
I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah,
I would, if I truly were like in a zombie apocalypse, I would have to like pair up with like Woody Harrelson in Zombieland.
Oh, for
with
sure.
With someone like that, I'd be like, I'd be such a pansy. I'd be like, oh God, so much blood.
See, that's why I'm like, I just want a gun so I can kill myself. Mm-hmm. I just want to blow my brains out because I don't want to live.
Did you see
that
the
shit.
Mist?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The very end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Let's not talk about it. It's too depressing.
That's a good one though.
Oh, so good. Love it. And finally, question a car. That's I like it. Question 7. Who would win, Jason, Freddy, Michael Myers, or Leatherface? Just like that?
Freddy.
Final answer.
Yeah. Was that wrong?
Not at all, man. No, I feel like I am front loading the question. Do you feel like by saying Jason, Freddy, Michael Myers, Leatherface, like people automatically just choose between Jason or Freddy?
No.
No.
Because Jason's worthless.
You hear that, Kevin? See, we have
a I would have said either Michael or Freddy. But Freddy has a supernatural flair, which can't be, did I go out?
No, you're good.
Oh, which can't, you can't compete with that. Like, I mean, the other three are, oh, I sound funny.
You're good.
Oh, great. The other three are mortal. And that's why, like, Michael kind of isn't.
Yeah.
So I kind of, no, Freddy, for sure.
Okay. Well, we have a contest going and Freddy is winning up by one.
Me?
You.
Nice.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
Hey, this is Craig Wade.
And Brian Allen Delaney from B-Movies and E-Books, a podcast about cult and horror films and genre fiction.
You can catch new episodes on iTunes and Stitcher every Wednesday, or you can watch us live on blab.im, Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Central.
B-Movies and E-Books. We bleed fiction.
All right, let's get to our movie. Sticking with the cannibalism-ish theme, We Are What We Are. So typically what I'm going to do from now on is kind of, you know, reach out to the guests and say, hey, we're going to review a movie as long as we haven't reviewed it on the show. And we typically just pick something on streaming. Let's, you know, have you pick something. And I couldn't think of any movies that dealt with eating people. And I think that's because I just watched We Are What We Are, for my 31 Days of Horror last year. Anyways, so you suggested that and I was like, oh yes, I need to give that a second watch. So I was super pumped. Thank you for picking that. Rated R, clocking in at 1 hour and 45 minutes, from Belladonna Productions, Memento Films International, Uncorked Productions, and Venture Forth. Written by Nick D'Amici, who did Stakeland, which is another great movie. Also written by Jim Mickle, who did Stakeland, and Jorge Michel Grau. And directed by Jim Mickle, starring Bill Sage, Amber Childers, and Julia Garner.
We will carry on. We've kept our tradition in its purity. We do it the way that we've always done it. Iris is the eldest. It's her responsibility now.
You ready for that? That's the way it works.
I found something strange this morning.
I believe it's human remains.
The storm has washed some bones way down creek.
We need to stick together now.
There are 30 people missing from this town in the last 20 years.
A reclusive family who follow ancient customs find their secret existence threatened as a torrential downpour moves into their area, forcing the daughters to assume responsibilities beyond those of a typical family. First things first, you guys. Don't the Catskills seem just lovely? It's gorgeous,
isn't
it?
Where are the Catskills?
Upstate New York, or mid-state New York.
Okay. Yeah. Geography is not my strong point.
Yeah, so well.
Glad you could fill me in.
The more you know. Like I said, I'm glad I got to watch this a second time because I noticed a bunch of shit that I didn't the first watch. I watched this, you know, last October for my 31 Days of Horror, and it didn't make my top 10. Last year, but it was an honorable mention, quote unquote, because I did like it. I just liked, you know, 10 other films better. But I was glad I got to watch it again. So thank you for
sure.
So what'd you guys think?
Go ahead.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I liked the very kind of subtle, like, story building of it, like showing pieces here and there, right? Actually, it wasn't even just pieces here and there. I felt like it continuously built like the story. I didn't find myself like bored with it at all. I found it grabbing my attention and keeping it all the way through.
Right.
Yeah, I thought it was a fun ride.
Yeah, I am constantly, I am bored by, you know, religious fervor movies.
Okay.
I thought this was an interesting addition to that canon. Particularly because it is movies about religious fervor can often delve into hysterics and annoying tropes, but I mean, you know, there is a insidiousness to it,
right?
And it's, for me, more than anything else, this was a fascinating character study about what fanaticism can do to you mentally and can do to you, to your perception of the world, in that is fascinating, you know.
For sure.
Am I allowed to give can I, like, spoiler alert in this thing? Not really, or
what the hell?
I will say the very ending image of them,
right?
That you know what I'm talking about.
For sure. Oh yeah.
What that told me is that you know that is a cycle that will continue on.
Oh yeah.
And that is what I think fanaticism to that degree does. And that's it's not one of those movies that was like, whew, got that out of our system. You know, we walk into the sunset. You know, like it was very realistic in that
And the cool thing is that, you know, it's, you know, a lot of people think, oh, this is set up for a sequel. It's not, because that's not how Mikkel and D'Amici like do things. That's not how they make their movies. Like, this is, they just want you to think, holy shit, this was fucked up. Oh my God, what's going to happen? Let your mind play with it. Like, that's how they do things. And I really, you know, and you know, for the ending, not the very ending, but the, you know, part before that, it's kind of a slow build. For a great payoff. I mean, I remember I watched it while Eben was napping, and then Bobby came home that night and said that, you know, I rewatched it, and she said, oh, you know, it's still good, that ending. And I was like, I completely forgot about it. Like, after my first, I mean, I was ashamed that I had forgotten about how gruesome it got. So, I love blood, man.
Yeah. Also, just superbly acted.
Like, God. The girls are great, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
They're great. And it's nice, you know, to see a film pass the Bechdel test, right?
Yes.
Isn't that great?
Big deal for me, yes.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, you're a, I mean, as we all should be, pro woman.
Very much so.
Yeah. So that was, I thought the girls were great. And Bill Sage, Bill Sage. He's creepy, man. Yeah. Like, he does it really well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, I think for me, the biggest horror wasn't, you know, the blood and the guts and all that stuff. It was an innocent child, the boy, because I think the girls have passed that age of innocence. But the boy is stuck in this extremely abusive situation. Not even the traditions that they still hold dear to their hearts. It's like the father is an asshole to begin with. And so the real horror for me is this little boy stuck in a horrendous family situation that he can't get out of.
I see what you're saying. That's fascinating.
You know, and you know, maybe that's 'cause I don't know, I'm a dad, but I hate seeing kids in pain, especially like little kids. You know, and you know, it's the guy, the character that Bill Sage played, the dad, he's so emotionally abusive. And maybe that goes back to like a religious thing. I don't know.
Well, there's a cycle of abuse that's explored in that movie. And it's, you know, the most disheartening thing in the most artistically fascinating is, I'll take it back to that very, very end image in saying that like the cycle continues.
Right.
Those types of movies are harrowing in a very exhausting way. I'm very pleasantly surprised at that movie, because I think my expectations were pretty low.
Yeah.
I don't know. It felt very, when I walked in, it felt like very like B movie, like something like I would maybe see like on Sci-Fi Channel, just from the sounds of it.
Right.
And completely, no, not at all. Not for at sure. All.
That's why because this was made in 2013, so it's a few years old.
Sure.
And it's been on Netflix for a while. I held off for a long time not to watch it for the same reasons. I'm like, it's probably not, you know, it's going to be a Sharknado type of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no point in watching it. But then people are like, what? You haven't seen this yet? What's wrong with you? And so, you know, I did watch it last October, and I was thinking, well, what the fuck was I waiting for?
Yeah.
But it is a, I really enjoyed it. Any other notes before we grade this thing?
No. It gave me some ideas for how to stage some stuff in the feast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay, so Noah, what we grade our movies on a 1 to 10 scale.
Okay.
Okay, I'm giving We Are What We Are an 8.
I think I'd give the same exact thing. Eight and a half.
8.5, okay.
I love some half numbers.
Okay, and Kevin?
I'll give that an 8 as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
8.25 is the average there. Yeah, totally recommend it though, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh my God, so good. So good. All right. You guys, you can read more reviews by following us on Tumblr at scaryasshit.tumblr.com. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/scaryasshit. And you can follow us on Twitter at scaryshitradio. And for next week, your homework is the Henry Rollins movie, Lord Help Us, He Never Died.
Oh, my God.
Who's coming on next week?
Well, I don't know if I can use their real names yet. We'll see.
It's somebody who likes Henry Rollins. Apparently.
Cool.
Looking forward to it.
You gonna kill me now, Snake?
I'm too tired. Maybe later.
I've got another deal for you. I want you to think it over while you're resting. I want to give you a job. We'd make one hell of a team, Snake.
The name is Pliskin.
Noah, thank you so much for coming over.
Thank you for having me.
Sorry it's super late.
I'll live.
You will live. We'll all live. It was a pleasure having you on. You can come back. Come back when you're not so busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never.
Oh.
I'll never have. I'll never be busy.
Well, then you're going to have to squeeze us in then. Make sure to check out the Shelter Belt on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you head to the website to get the tickets at shelterbelt.org. The Feast by Celine Song, or is it just Feast?
The Feast.
Yep. The Feast by Celine Song runs April 15th to May 8th. You can find Noah at Noah_Diaz3 on Instagram and Facebook.com/NoahDiaz. Thanks for coming over.
Thanks for having me.
That is it. We are done. Thank you to Kevin, Noah, Radke. Kevin, Noah, Radke. Donnelly Family Reunion for our theme music. Remember to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. You can listen to us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, and B&EPod.com. Follow the Scary as Shit playlist on Spotify, you guys. We love music. We'd love to hear from you, too. You can always contact the show at scaryasshit666@gmail.com. Remember, you guys, a mental mindfuck can be nice. See you next week. Go Cubs!
Is part of the B&E Network, brought to you by BMoviesandEbooks.com.